Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
We're all sort of playing kind of different things coming from different places, but when you mash it all together, I think it works really well.
Okay, Patrick, this is super exciting. We love hanging out with the guys from Dot Dash, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We have here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We have here Terry and Hunter and Danny from Dot Dash, Washington, D.C. band that we really like. And we've had the great privilege to get to know these guys over the years, right?
We certainly have. And one of the most memorable room concerts that we did was with these guys in your living room a couple years back. That was incredible.
It was great. They played right here in the family room at my house. Yep. You can go back and go to suburbspod.com and go back and find those episodes. Listen to those. Lots of fun. Got to know them then. And then they played at the first Suburbs Fest. And mm-hmm. We've hung out with them. And I just saw them play opening for Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah at Jam and Java. So good times. But anyway, the reason I bring that show up is because I had a chance to talk with them. And we talked about their new album, which is called Madman in the Rain. And I said, why don't you guys come on the show and we'll go through track by track all 12 songs and talk about each of the 12 songs. And I know later I brought this idea to you, Patrick, and you said, no way, that's a terrible idea. But they liked it. And so we're going to do it. All right. So despite your protestations. All right. So introduce yourselves, guys.
Hey, this is Terry, and I play guitar and sing in Dot Dash. And thanks for having us.
I'm Danny. I'm the good-looking one, and I play drums.
And I'm Hunter. I'm a Leo, and I play the bass.
I won't mention what book I caught Hunter reading recently at a concert we were both at.
Oh, please do mention it. It'll actually make me seem smart.
I couldn't think of anything funny to say, but I asked him what he was reading. It kind of surprised me.
Was it Helen Gurley Brown?
No, I thought it would be, you know, some rock and roll tomb or some kind of biography, but it was actually Crime and Punishment, I believe.
It was. I am holding myself to a strict read one chapter a day rule so that I can actually make it through. And it seemed like reading the chapter while I was listening to The Chills would be a thoroughly pleasant experience.
Definitely would make it better.
There you go. All right. So let's talk about this new record, Madman in the Rain. How many albums is this now for Dot Dash?
Seven.
But it's been a while since Proto Retro, right?
Yeah, a little over 4 years.
And that's the longest period of time between records, I would imagine.
Yeah, and you know, we were, as everyone was, we were waylaid by COVID. We were going to make the record in the spring of 2020, and we pushed it back for obvious reasons, thinking that, you know, the world would return in a few months. But of course, as we all know, it just kept going and going and going. But, last spring we started playing live again, and here we are, and we have a new record. So, yeah.
That's great. Okay, well, we'll talk a lot about the album, both in detail, the songs, and then in whole. But let's start by listening to a little music. This is the lead off track, Forever Far Out.
If you're always running off from somewhere, getting out of nowhere, chasing your breath again. I was going gently into that good night. I didn't rage against the dying of the light. If it takes forever, if you get far out, if it's now or never, or over and out. If get far out. If it's now or never, or over and out.
All right, so how did you decide to lead off with that particular song?
Hunter, you were keen on that one to be the first one, although I liked it too a lot. Do you want to feel that one?
That is my probably one of like two of my favorite songs on this record. It's a really fun song to play. And what I like about it, it's normally we start with sort of the rocked up song on Dot Dash Records. So like, I think the more obvious choice would have been Tense and Nervous on this one, but this one has kind of a different feel. And what I like about this is one of the things that I really like about this band, and I think that, you know, for whatever reason, people seem to respond to, is that it's sort of this mashup of styles. And here it's kind of like, you know, we're all sort of playing kind of different things coming from different places. But when you mash it all together, I think it works really well.
How would you describe the different styles you each bring to the band?
Terry has a very, I feel like the word jangly is overused, but Terry has a really distinctive guitar style that's really sort of heavily strummed, but also really melodic. You know, and I think that's, I know Terry likes Orange Juice a lot, and he likes the Birds a lot, both of which I like, but I would say that I'm a casual fan. You know, on this, the bass part, I don't even really like New Order that much, but this bass part always kind of reminds me of New Order. And, you know, Danny's just like, Danny is a monster drummer. And he's also, I think, probably the only drummer I've ever played with that really spends time listening to what I'm playing and trying to work out stuff goes in sync with it. And so I think, you know, here we sort of hit upon a nice combination of everything where you got the strummy but melodic and jangly guitar, you got the weird New Order bass line, and then you got Danny just pounding away on the drums.
There's something really interesting about the way we do the songs as well, because Terry writes all the songs. So he'll come to practice and he'll say, hey, I've got a new song, and he'll sort of play it, and it sounds like this light, beautiful, jangly guitar song. And then Hunter and I start playing, and it starts filling out and getting a little bit heavier. And on this song, I was sort of channeling like a Killing Joke song that I had in mind on the drum beat. And so when we play it live, it tends to be a little bit of a heavier, faster song. Like as a musician, it's a demanding song for me. But there's this thing that happens when we go into the studio that's always sort of like a pleasant surprise, and that is, we go in and we lay down the basic tracks, sort of playing them live, you know, just the same way we would do it at a concert or in my basement. And then Terry Hunter and I leave, and then Terry will go in and he'll put in like little chiming guitar parts and things like that that sort of change the texture of the song. Usually it works out okay. But a song like this, you know, when we were playing it live, it was just like this heavy driving, you know, thing. And Hunter always jokes around, play it faster, Pops, play it faster. And then when I listen to it on the CD, it really sounds kind of beautiful in a way, and not that sort of like frantic sort of thing that it sounds like in my basement. So.
That's great. Patrick, did you have something?
You got a little Dylan Thomas in there, Terry.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That just fit, and I, you know, I'm not above lifting stuff, you know, lyrically or otherwise. So if it fits, I just put it
I
in.
I love it.
You know?
Yeah, I'm the same way. Anytime you can get a turn of phrase that'll fit with the song, it's fantastic. I love the lyrics on this one.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
You have 12 songs on this album. How many did you write for the album, Terry?
We had all of them, you know, as I was saying, we were going to make this record in spring 2020, and we had all of them except, we had 12 songs that when we went to the studio, I think we dropped two, and we had Airwaves is a song on this record that we didn't have that sort of came during the COVID times. And, you know, I was looking at the track list, and one or two others may have. I'm not sure about a song called Dead Gone, which is the last track, but I'm pretty sure we had all of them. Woke Up Dreaming could be new, but certainly Airwaves is new, and one or two others are new. And then the rest we all had. You know, some of these songs we've had since the end of 2018 and had been playing them in gigs and all of that sort of thing. So, you know, 9 or 10 of the 12 songs were predate, you know, the pandemic, and one or two come.
So you don't come in with like 20 songs and then pare it down to 12. You're sort of working the other way.
No. I mean, we only really do the ones, I only bring the ones in that I really like, you know, to sort of show to the guys. And they add their own parts. The bass lines are all Hunter. The drum parts are all Danny. So we kind of are our own editors. We don't do the sort of let's do a bunch of songs and then pick them. We kind of work leaner than that. So we're, you know, we only practice what we're going to play. We only play what we're going to record, you know, that sort of thing.
It's interesting that you say that, because Terry and I won't say we argue about it, but I've always been of the mind, record what you have and then pick your 10 best songs. And Terry says, no, let's just go in and record them and release them. And usually his instincts are better than mine when it comes to that sort of thing. But I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Terry, but I think there was one song we didn't record out of the batch that we've been rehearsing.
I think there were two. There was two. I don't even remember the names of them. One we used to play live all the time. It was like a Long Riders, Del Fuego's strummy rocking thing. And then there was that other, there were two that we just didn't record.
But that sort of countryish song.
Yeah, that one, and then the one that had the intro where we were like channeling Ministry.
Yeah, the Killing Joke type thing. Yeah. So I think you asked where we recorded it. We recorded it at a place in Manhattan, in kind of Union Square area, called Renegade Studios, owned by Little Steven.
Wow.
Oddly enough. We recorded that there with Jeff Sanoff, who did our previous record, Proto Retro, and it was great.
Yeah, there's a picture on the inside of the CD of the three of us sitting on a couch, and that was sort of an interior room in the studio. And it's also where he broadcasts. I think he broadcasts. I mean, a lot of the DJs are remote, but that's sort of the headquarters for Little Steven's Underground Garage as well. And the whole place is like a museum of music memorabilia that he's been collecting for 60 years.
Yeah, so Patrick, you would not believe the book collection he has in there.
Oh, all really?
Music I books bet. And titles I've never seen.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. Like, you know, I mean, like books on Black Sabbath I had never seen. Wow. And, you know, first editions of stuff. It was like, took all my willpower not to steal books out of the Little Steven library, but I figured that was bad karma.
And how long did it take to record? This was like a long weekend kind of thing. You guys went up to New York and banged it all out?
Yeah.
Not just a regular weekend.
Yeah, I think it was just over a weekend. And then I stayed an extra day and did vocals and extra guitar. So, you know, our standard kind of, we load in at night and then we come back and do 2 days, and then maybe I stay a third day.
I think it was essentially this weekend.
This album was also a little bit of a rarity. Like the last time we worked with Sanoff, we recorded at Inner Ear Studios. And it's like most of the rhythm track stuff, we just did in one take, like pretty much for that entire record. I think there was maybe one song we did a second take for. And on this one, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what, but we actually did like 2 or 3 versions of a lot of songs, which is sort of unusual for us. Usually we just go in and play them live and are pretty happy with what we do the first time around. So.
Okay. And I think one of you was telling me earlier that the mixing though took quite some time, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So when we say 2 or 3 days, that has never included mixing. I mean, you have to kind of let the person do their own thing. So Jeff has a day job, engineering and, you know, doing bands and other stuff. And, you know, so he kind of takes his time to do his thing. So yeah, that the mixing is like as long as the person wants it to take. Yeah. So, but you know, I don't think he's like slaving away, you know, day after day after day. I think he kind of gets to it when he wants to and can, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we record really quickly, but as far as mixing and all of that stuff, we leave that to the person to, you know,
yeah,
get to it as they want. I used to kind of like pull my hair out because our records used to like came out really quickly. And the first time with Proto Retro, it was sort of like, oh man, you know, when's he going to finish it? And this time I was like, I hope it takes really long, you know, because just with COVID and everything, it just sort of felt like, well, what difference does it make? Right. You know what I mean? So like, it was almost like the longer, the better, but I'm really glad it came out now. That was kind of a good time for it to come out.
All right, let's get to the next song. This is called Space Junk Satellites.
Looked like hollow jewels. I saw the moon reflected in shallow pools, and when you least expect it, it'll come to you. Out of the dark, out of the blue, all alone in the summer rain. It's no different, but it's not the same. All day and all of the night, space junk satellite.
So my only question on this song is, I guess this is more of a statement to that question. Tell us about the keyboards.
Oh, well, that's Jeff. He, on the previous record, he added really simple kind of Farfisa type parts on, I think, a synth part on one song and a Farfisa on another. And this one, you know, we said, hey, if you want to add anything, you know, go for it. And he took that to heart and added a lot of keyboards, which I love. I think it sounds great on this one, quite prominently, and in lots of the other songs, all, you know, in other places. But that's Jeff Sanoff, our producer on the Ivory.
Yeah, he's got great instincts, and I think we really benefited from working with him two records in a row, because I think he really gets what we're trying to do. It doesn't sound like some guy just sitting in there and adding stuff. I mean, the stuff sounds like really integral to the songs themselves. So he's like, you know, the Brian Epstein of Dot Dash. He's like the fourth Dot Dasher at this point.
And this song, it gives it like that spacey feel, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
It seems like every once in a while, Terry will come to the band with a song that is sort of genre breaking, you know, because we tend to, you know, stick with like the jam and that sort of mode of like, you know, kind of songs that we play, you know, and this one like evolved in sort of like a salsa type feel, you know, in to the rhythm of it. And one of the treats for me was that my son Sam, who's studying audio tech at AU, came up for the recording session, and he was there the whole time, and he like stood in the room with Jeff the whole time, but he actually put down some of the percussion on this track, which
That's very cool. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Uncredited. Oh, is it credited?
No, he's on there.
Okay.
He's credited. Yeah,
Congas.
Yeah. Cool. Congas. That's even better.
Congas on Space Junk by Sam. It just says Sam.
Oh,
so if you didn't know, if you weren't.
He's like Cher or Bono. Right.
You have to listen to this podcast to get the real story of who is Sam. Yeah.
Right.
And I will say to listeners out there, and maybe Vasant Ramamurthy knows this, but Jeff was in a band that's really cool, DC band that put out records in the 90s called Edsel. If you don't know their work, it's definitely worth checking out. They, you know, they were never formally aligned with Discord. I mean, maybe they put something out on DeSoto or one or two on DeSoto, but they jumped around a lot. But they're a very interesting band and have some really cool stuff that you can probably find if you go digging. So I would definitely recommend that.
All right, any more thoughts on this song? Terry, talk a little bit about the why is it Space Junk Satellites? What are the lyrics? What is this all about?
Well, musically, I mean, the music always comes first for me, but the lyrics sort of write kind of almost simultaneous to it, you know, just like a little bit behind it. But musically, it kind of felt like, you know, I really love the first two Everything But the Girl records. And there's other people who, you know, sounded like that, you know, Jazz Butcher and just different people. And I said, kind of musically was in that sort of mode. And lyrically, you know, a lot of my stuff is just sort of impressionistic. It's not, you know, I mean, I have had, if I had a stack of our records, I could go, this is about this person and that's about this. But I mean, a lot of them, and even those ones are not, they're never fully about something. Like I would never write a song that's like, this is about the time I, you know, went to the store. You know, they're just sort of, you know, snatches, just sort of moments. And this one, gosh, I don't, you know, I feel like I should, rather than demystify it, I should mystify it a bit, because it sounds boring, but it's just sort of stream of consciousness, for better or worse.
There, when I think of, and I was talking to my wife about this, we were driving back from Brooklyn today, and she put on the CD and she was like going through and giving me her critique of each of the songs. And the thing that she said about Terry's lyrics is they're more, as Terry said, more like image. It's almost like abstract impressionism. You know, he comes up with like interesting couplets that he thinks sound good together, that don't necessarily have anything to do with the couplet he sings in the next song. It just, it fits the song and it paints a picture.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, for better or worse, she's exactly right.
But there's times and I'm not name dropping, but in the thing that Ira Robbins wrote talking about Terry's lyrics, you know, he cited the song about sitting in a bodega, sniffing the remains of Alan Vega, you know. And I think Terry's lyrics are at their best when he's being humorous, like when he's like evoking that kind of humorous mischievous.
And that was drummer Danny Ingram discussing the second track, Space Junk Satellites, from the new Dot Dash album called Madman in the Rain. Please tune in all this week as we go through all 12 tracks on the record with Terry Banks, Hunter Bennett, and Danny. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I am Patrick Foster, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
I'm Danny, I'm the good-looking one, and I play drums.